And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life. Thou mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship that true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sense. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ, and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-V. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as our sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you are weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. God bless you all, everybody. Hallelujah. We thank God. Hallelujah. Everybody still there? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for all of you. Hallelujah. We praise God for all the men and young boys who have tuned in today. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do tonight. Hallelujah. We thank you, O God, for signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings following as we share and as your Holy Spirit reveals itself to us tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, for your presence and for your greatness and your good and your mercy, your grace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank God for being able to come into your homes or your jobs or your cars or wherever you are, on your work, wherever you are tonight. And I thank God for having one of the heavyweights of Christian walk in Christendom with me tonight, none other than Minister Jerry Cleveland. Are you there, sir?
Amen. Yes, sir. Bless God. I'm absolutely here, and thank you for that prophecy.
Amen. Well, bless God. You are a heavyweight in God's kingdom, because you know the word and you stay in the word, and that's a good thing, and we do share that with everyone.
Amen.
Life
Amen.
Is an open book test, and the book is the word of God, the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the sword, whatever you want to call it, that's what it is. Hallelujah. So we got an interesting topic tonight. I think, Mr. Jerry, I just recommend that, the young men, the men and young boys get composition notebook or something to write on, because we may get out some scriptures, and you need to hear what God would have us to share with you on today. And what's the topic today?
The topic is keeping your heart.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I'll put you on the spot.
Wait a minute. I got the topic is manners.
Yeah, good manners.
That's right. Good manners reflect in a virtue.
Reflect in a virtue.
That's right.
Now, every man, every boy, every young man ought to exhibit good manners. That's being Christ-like. Civility, that's what you're talking about, civil in your conversation, your walk, your talk, the way you operate. We have a day now where some women don't want you to be mad. They don't want you to hold the door for them. They don't want you to hold the chair for them. But sometimes it's in a Christian man to be a person of good manners, because good manners reflect inner virtue.
Yes.
And you have anything, opening statement to say about that, Minister Jerry?
Good manners is something that is taught from the home.
Yeah.
Good manners is taught in the home. It is reinforced in the place of education, but it begins in the home.
No.
And if the heart in the home is right, if the heart in the home, the leading heart in the home is right, then the good manners will be reflected from that heart to the heart of the people that witness it, when you began to display those manners.
Amen.
In other words, when I see late boys and girls and I'm working with them and I hand them something and they say thank you, they don't just grab it and run. That displays to me the home that they come from. That displays good manners. If they wait for me to finish talking, or I can wait for them to finish talking, and then the other person talks, that displays good manners. That displays what we call good home training.
I'm sorry.
It's a kind of a rarity today. It's kind of a rarity today in this fast-moving society that we work with, because, I don't know, sometimes it just seems like people don't have time to say thank you and please and all kinds of basic things like that. So it's up to, I believe, that this generation, the prior generation and so forth, to keep these manners, these basic good manners alive by practicing them and demonstrating them to the family, demonstrating them to people outside of the family that we know and don't know. And that is one way that people will recognize the Christ in our life. Now,
amen.
That doesn't say that that everybody who does that is saved, but it will reflect that I have been around somebody who has rubbed off on me, who is saved. So yes, it will reflect Christ in our life.
You know, that's so true, and you know, I think good manners also reflects that you have respect for the other person.
Yes.
You value the other person.
Yes.
And I can see, you know, parents teaching their young children that have that quality of good manners. You know,
yes.
Please and thank you. When you know we had a subject about 2 or 3 months ago where we talked about how. When you're out dining and a woman comes to the table, you stand up.
Mm-hmm.
You stand up to acknowledge her presence. You're respecting her. Or if she's sitting down, she gets up from the table. The men stand up. And the women stand up. That acknowledges the value of this lady. And it just shows, again, like you said, home training. And I don't know why some families don't deal with that, but we ought to deal with it. That's why, Mr. Jerry, it's good to at least once a day to have, if we can't have a meal together in the home, so you can practice good manners. We start off with a scripture. What's the first scripture you see there?
The first scripture that I have, Bishop, is Proverbs 4:23.
Uh-huh.
And Proverbs 4:23 reads, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the wellspring of life."
Yeah, I see that respect for others and valuing others is reflected in your good manners, and it comes from the heart. If you don't respect others, you don't say please, you don't say thank you. You almost feel like you're entitled to whatever they gave you. You don't have to say please. You should have gave it to me anyway. In fact, what took them so long to give it to me? You know, and that type of thing where you devalue other people. I think the word for devaluing is attenuate. We attenuate other people, and we're not supposed to do that. You know, you're supposed to value other people, and you do that by the display of those good manners. Again, it comes from the heart. And the stuff that builds in your heart starts when you're a child, and you continue to reinforce it as you grow older. The good stuff, it almost, once you become an adult, it's almost like a reflex action. You don't even realize that you're using good manners, but you are. You automatically hold the chair for some lady that's getting ready to sit down. You automatically hold the door and let the lady go in. You stand when she comes to the table, you know, or when she gets up from the table to go. It's like it's in you.
Yeah.
I remember many years ago, nobody ever they didn't teach me this. Nobody told me when somebody comes in the room, when a lady comes in the room, you should stand, acknowledging her presence. Or in fact, anybody, you know, they come into a room, you're in the room and you're sitting down. You acknowledge their presence by standing and greeting them, you know. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes we don't do this. People walk into a room, and go in, one or two people in the room, and they walk in, don't say nothing, just sit down. You need to, when you walk in the room, you say hello, and everybody else say hello. Man.
Yes.
You know, and it's just good manners.
Yes.
You have anything to say on that?
Oh, certainly. You know, that is what we're talking about. We're not talking about anything big or anything unusual or unheard of. What we're talking about is just basic rearing. It's ABC 1-2-3 stuff. You walk into a room, you speak to people. You get up in the morning, you know, your people come downstairs, you might run into each other, somebody says good morning, somebody says hello. It's just, you know, but I think perhaps people, because of the busyness and the schedules and everything that people have today, you know, they perhaps feel like, oh, we don't have time for good manners. But, you know, you, like you said, you have to practice the stuff that you have to practice, and you don't want to get out of the practice of it, because when you get out of the practice of it, it shines a dim light. It dims your light. You know, you have the light of Christ on the inside of you, but when you don't carry yourself and you don't respond to things in a spiritual, spirit-like way, it dims the light. I've seen it, I've done it, but I get better results when I do it His way.
Amen. You know. I just a visual came up to me. Maybe someone is applying for a job, and they're escorted to the room, and the person who's supposed to interview you is not in the room, but the people told you that they haven't seen the room, they'll be in shortly.
Right.
And when they come in the room, you should stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And that says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When they
yeah.
come in, instead of just sitting in the chair, you stand up. In other words, you're valuing their presence.
Yes.
Even if it's a man or woman, you stand up because they're getting ready to interview you for a job. You want to put your best foot forward. Is that right?
That's right. Absolutely.
You want to get the job. You don't want to lose the job because you didn't stand up when they came in the room.
Well, you know what? That's an old one right there. That's going way back. A bit, but you know, even if you do stand, you know, that says more than a nod of the head. That
uh-huh.
says more than just a hello. My name is JoJo. That so you know that's going to put you way ahead of the folk who think that it is what is that word you just used.
It's their
rightful place, and you should give me this job. You ought to be doing this for me. What is that?
Yeah, they feel that they owe this. And
yes.
you have to always put your best foot forward. And I'm reminded, too, of another thing. Guys, if you go over somebody's house and you have a hat on, the first thing you do when you get across that field, you take your hat off. I don't care if you're a little boy or you're an old man, everything in between. Take your hat off. You're under somebody else's roof. You acknowledge the value of their home or their office or whatever it is. You take your hat off.
Yes.
But that's just good manners. Good manners reflect inner virtue. Hallelujah.
Is that the reason that we take our hat off when we enter mm-hmm. God's house?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
I said, is that the reason that we take our hat off when we enter the church building, when we go into God's house?
Yes, acknowledging God. God is out here. We do that. We're valuing the presence of God. So we take our hats off. We go into someone's house. We value their home or their office or whatever. We don't keep our hats. You know, a lot of us nowadays, people be wearing hats all over the place, you know. You know, they keep the hats on and all that. We're saying, in essence, I'm the only valuable person here, so I can do what I want to do.
Oh.
And that's not what you ought to be saying, especially as a Christian, as a born-again saint. You should have good manners, because good manners reflect inner virtue, inner Christ virtue. Christ is virtue. Hallelujah. So, it is important for you to kind of understand and display that in your walk. You, people say, oh, you don't have to do that. That's fine. And they can say that.
Mm-hmm.
But you go ahead and do it anyway.
That's right.
Because a lot of women will say, oh, you don't have to hold the door for me.
Oh, my God.
I can hold the door for myself. Oh, that's fine. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing. You can say that. Thank you for sharing and hold the door anyway.
You know what?
Yes.
Because their inner virtue will appreciate it.
Yes. I don't care what they say. You know, that will mark you as somebody out of the ordinary, out of the crowd. So
that's what I'm saying.
Do we have another scripture?
Here we go. Here's another scripture, Matthew 15:18. But the things which proceed out of the mouth come out of the heart, and they defile the man.
All right. And you got to understand that if you don't show, good manners, that's going to mess you up. It's going to defile you. You're trying to get a job and you're sitting up there and the interviewer has to tell you, excuse me, can you take your hat off? That's a problem. You already lost that opportunity to work for that company. You know, if they got to tell you, you know, and it was in your heart, it said, I'll do anything I want to do, what I feel like doing. I'm a cavalier. You know, I do what I feel like doing. I don't feel like taking off my hat. I don't care who you are. I don't care where I am. You owe me the job. You ought to give me it. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's not God's way. But a lot of people feel that way. They don't understand that messes you up. If in your heart is not good stuff, in your heart is me, mine, us four, no more. If in your heart is all about selfishness, all about I'm going to get mine first, I deserve to get this. I deserve that because I'm black or because I'm white or because I was born on one side of the track or whatever, because my name is so-and-so. No. You see, a lot of folks who read the word sometimes get favor mixed up. You don't demand favor. Favor comes to you because it comes from God. And people will acknowledge you. You don't have to tell them, give me favor, give me favor. You know, it comes automatically. And, you know, you're walking to the bank and because you have favor, God, the guy sitting at the desk says, "Oh, Mr. Cleveland, you don't have to wait in the line. I'll take you right now myself."
Yeah.
You don't walk into the room like what they call it, a Karen now or whatever, and demand stuff. I demand that you treat me such and such a way. No,
that's right.
Good manners reflect inner virtue.
That's right.
Is there another scripture?
Can I say this? Can I say this another way? We were talking about what comes out of the heart. Am I getting this?
Yes. What comes out of the mouth? Yes.
What comes out of the mouth?
It comes from the heart.
What comes out of the mouth? It starts in the heart.
Starts in the heart.
It gets its start in the heart.
That's right.
It's from the heart that we vomit up evil arguments.
That's right.
Murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, lies, false cursing. So that's what the police.
Okay.
Eating or not eating certain foods, washing or not washing your hands, that's neither here nor there, but it is good to do that. But it is what starts, what gets it start in the heart. Right. From here, Jesus took a trip and so forth. But whatever is in the heart, lots of times get processed in the mind, and then we spit it out of the mouth.
Uh-huh.
And when it is processed through the mind, you know, if the mind is fleshly, then it's not going to be good. If the mind is spiritual, you have this mind which is in you, which is Jesus, then you know it's going to be okay to say.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so we're going to run it through that through your mind, or you're going to run it through his mind.
Amen.
And whatever side it comes out of, the scripture goes on to say, you know, it's not just the washing of the hands, because whatever you eat is processed through the intestines, and the balance of it, what is used by the body, it gets absorbed, but what is not used gets desiccated. So, if you're using the word properly, and you're running it through the process of the mind of Christ, his way of doing things, then you're going to get his results. But if you're going to run it through your mind strictly, then you're going to get your results. And what do you want? Let's balance this out. Whose results do you want?
Amen. You know, there's another scripture. What's the next scripture? Because I think it hits the nail on the head. What's the next scripture?
Proverbs 18.
21. Yeah. Can you read that?
Yes, I can. Proverbs 18, 21. And it reads, Proverbs 18:21 says, he who follows after righteousness and kindness finds life, righteousness and honor. 18:21. That's the wrong one.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's the scripture that I wanted to.
Yeah, I knew something was wrong with that.
Yeah.
That life is
in the
power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. There we go.
All right. And you know, see, that, it didn't have no middle ground. It says life and death. It didn't have a third option, did it?
No.
It's life or death. Your situation. Maybe a student in a class. Watch out what you say to the teacher, to each other, because I'm going to tell you, what you say out of your mouth is going to come back to you.
That's right.
You know, so you show manners, good manners, you're going to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to multiply. You show good manners on that interview for that job, the people discussing your application and your interview say, I don't know why, because there's some other folk here that got more experience.
More qualified.
About that person,
yeah.
So I think we ought to give the job to them.
Yeah.
And you know what it could have been? Could have been your good manners.
Yes.
It reflects inner virtue.
Inner virtue. That's right.
That's so important. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And
that's
if you
right.
talk good stuff, you're going to eat good stuff. You talk bad stuff, you're going to eat bad stuff. But you're going to deal with whatever you come out of your mouth, it can come back to you. It's like a boomerang. The words you do, the words you say, the things you do are boomerangs. They will come back to you. So you got to be careful what you say and what you do. We got another scripture?
Yes, we do. This is the Bible that was given to me as a gift from the church. And this is the same verse. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit.
Is that the Message Bible?
That's what it is.
The Message Bible. That is so real. Y'all got to understand that. You know, see, I remember one time when I worked for the state and I was dealing with some a lady who applied for some benefits, and she had just gotten fired, several children. I don't know if she had four or whatever. But she said the reason why she got fired, because she gave the boss a piece of her mind, because he asked her to do something that wasn't in her job spec.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother told her, don't bite your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
That was bad advice.
Yes, it is.
Sometimes you got to take it to the Lord.
Yes.
In fact, all the time, I suggest you take it to the Lord. Because if you, what's his name? Flip Wilson said, loose lips sink ships.
Yep.
Look, you get good manners is not loose lips. That's good stuff.
Yep.
But loose lips will sink your ship.
Yeah,
that's what it did to her, and I don't even think she got any benefits because they had to calculate what she earned that month,
mm-hmm.
and that went into the equation of how when she could be eligible to receive benefits, but she did what her mother was not a good train her.
Yeah.
She trained her to be derailed in life.
Mm.
Because we're talking about train a child the way they should go and they won't depart. I mean, a children are trained on a track.
That's right.
You set that track. If they stay on that track, but if you train them the wrong way, they done derailed. They don't have. I guess that's what they call it. Derailed their train. Train is off the track and can't go forward because they done messed up.
That's right.
Parents, fathers, your job is to train the children. To teach them good manners. And they will listen to 15% of what you say and 85% of what you do.
Mm.
So you've got to have good manners in order to teach your children good manners. Hallelujah. We got another scripture there.
Yes, we do. We have Luke 6:24. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation.
Okay, I thought there was Luke 6:38.
You know what? You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
I apologize. 6:38.
Okay.
Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be given to you. For with the same measure you measure, it will be measured back to you.
Yes. What you do, what you say, what you do, it's a boomerang. It will come back to you. But it always comes back to you multiplied. And that scripture says, you know, it says it's going to be heaped up and running over in the King James Version. That people are going to give to your bosoms, but like manner you give, it's going to be given to you. The way you give it out, it's going to be given to you, but it's going to be heaped up and running over. In other words, it's going to be multiplied, y'all. So men, young boys, everything you do, everything you say, it's going to come back to you. It's a boomerang. You remember the boomerang. You throw it, and it'll come back to you. The boomerang started as a weapon in Australia and became a toy in the Western world, you know, in the United States. It became a toy because it was fun. But it ain't fun if you're giving out bad stuff. It's going to come back to you, but it's going to come back to you multiplied. That young lady that wanted some benefits, she gave out bad stuff. The boss had a need for the company, and he just asked her to do something that wasn't on a job spec. She should have said, it's not on my job spec, but I'll be glad to do it.
Yeah.
She should say that. She laid him out. It came back to her, but it came back multiplied. She got fired.
Well, you know, Bishop, I have, I know exactly how that works, and I've seen it work. I've had it happen to me. Sometimes I've said things or I've done things, and it can be slow or it can be a quick return. And sometimes I look at it, and when it comes back, it can come back in a matter of minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I'll say, oh, wait a minute. I remember sowing that seed. Oh, God. And then I have to apologize. Because I've realized I've sown a bad seed, and I got a quick, bad return.
Amen. You so, got a harvest.
Yeah, I got a harvest.
The key.
Immediately.
You know, I preached a sermon about, you know, everything you think, everything you say, everything you do are seeds that are planted.
Yeah.
You know, when you plant a seed, after a while, that seed will grow into a tree, and you're going to get a harvest on what you done planted.
Yeah.
And the Bible says in Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow good stuff, you sow good manners, you're going to reap good stuff. It's going to come back to you multiplied. So that's really true. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That's why when we're talking to the men, man, that's why you want to treat your wife with good respect and good regard, because when you sow bad seed toward her, it's going to come back.
It's going to come back. But, you know, I heard one preacher say, look here, you sowing some bad seed, you stressing your wife out, it's going to come back to you, but it ain't going to come back as stress like you gave her.
Yeah.
It will come back hell.
Yeah. There it is.
Multiply. Some men want to be treated like kings, but they treat their wives like servants.
Yeah.
Like children sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. Some women want to be treated like queens, but they treat their husbands like children.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for you to understand the seed you sow is the crop you grow. You want to be treated like a queen, you treat your man like a king. You want to be treated like a king, you better treat your wife like a queen. And then you train up your little girls to be queens, and you train up the boys to be kings.
Yeah.
And the way you train your boys to be kings, you give them good manners.
Yes. Yeah.
Value everybody.
Make it second nature.
Make it a reflex action.
That's right.
And, you know, sometimes I say thank you and whatever. It's a reflex action to me.
That's right.
And I go back and say, I don't know, did I say thank you? I've actually called up people and said, did I tell you thank you? I said, yes, you did.
Yes.
But it's a reflex action now. You know, I guess early on I had to remember to do it, but I don't have to remember to do it now. It's just a reflex action now.
That's
we have
right.
any more scriptures?
I have one more.
Okay, go ahead. Let's do that one more.
Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Hallelujah.
The second verse, which goes with that,
okay,
says, the tongue of the wise commands knowledge, but the mouth of fools.
That's, the last word was folly?
Yeah. Folly, yes.
Uh-huh.
That's 1 and 2.
Oh, man. See, it's, you know, I used to tell folks that, you know, arguments are not good. Differences of opinions are good.
Mm-hmm.
Arguments are not good,
mm-hmm,
because arguments beget strife. You're going to argue, and then what you get back is strife. Yes, so that's like your house is on fire, and it's, you know, and the firemen come and they put more fire on your house. That's not going to put the fire out. That's going to make the fire get worse. You're going to burn down your house. So a soft word, somebody maybe be angry with you and instead of you giving them what they're giving you, because you're always going to get back what you're giving out.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to give them a soft word. It will cool them off. You give them some space so they can cool off. Or you talk softer so they have to keep quiet to listen to what you're saying because they can't hear you. But a soft word, But you guess as loud as they are, my goodness. After a while, y'all can come to blows, and then you wonder why there's a fight in the cafeteria.
Oh, yeah. My God.
There's a fight in the classroom. There's a fight in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody decided not to do what the Bible said do.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, you know, what we've been talking about today is good manners reflect inner virtue. And your inner virtue comes from knowing and accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Our time is up. Minister Jerry, can you close us out in prayer, if you would?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time of fellowship, this time of dispensing your word, this time of casting out the word. And we expect, we look forward to a return on what you've given us to give to your people. We thank you, Father, for the men and the boys and the folk who are going to cast this word as a boomerang and get a return on that. But when you want to show your word strong, and we're going to show it, you're going to show it effective. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Jerry, for being with us today. And thank all of you for tuning in. God bless you. And stay tuned for next month, the second Friday, to the next Men's Fellowship. And stay tuned. The Women's Fellowship will be coming shortly.
Amen. Bless God.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life, thou mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship our true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press protect. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ, and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. He hears your heart's cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty men. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you are weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed. The mighty men of valor.
Stay tuned for the Women's Fellowship of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center, where the broken are made whole by God.
Oh! We thank God, hallelujah, for bringing us, hallelujah, out here tonight for another women's fellowship, hallelujah, yes. Hallelujah. God bless all the men that were that preceded us in their program, hallelujah. And tonight, hallelujah, I am your co-host, Pastor Peaches, and my two, your host, Pastor Peaches, and I have two co-hosts joining me, Pastor Maxine Lee of Essex, Maryland, and Elder QB Stevenson in Owings Mill, Maryland. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. And tonight I want to talk about, right after I pray, first I want to pray and honor God in all that
yes,
we do.
Yes,
Father God,
yes.
We just praise your name.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for this is the day you have made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, we ask you, Lord God, to bless tonight everything that is said and done, Lord God. Lead, God, bless, direct in the name of Jesus. Father God, bless the hearers. Encourage your people everywhere, Father. Encourage the parents, Lord God, to continue to lift up the name of Jesus in the home, raising the children. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord God, to bless everyone, bless all the listeners, hallelujah, far and near, hallelujah, bless the two women of God that's on here tonight, Lord God, along with me, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We ask you, Lord God, to touch the women's, the mother's heart, the parent's heart, whoever's yes. in the home raising the children. May they yes. be encouraged, Lord God. To stand up for you, Lord God, no matter the cost, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. And tonight I want to what's been on my mind and heart, we've seen recently in the news of a lot of chaos in the classroom, the six-year-old shooting his teacher, our teenagers. Being shot, one of them dying. Just chaos in the classrooms, on the ground surrounding the schools, in the stuff going on in the schools with our children, with our teachers. Thank God I am not a teacher, right now, and I am retired from working with children for 34 years, and I don't.
Yes.
It was like, I thought I'm counting my blessings being at home right now.
Everything has a time and a season.
Yes, hallelujah. And, you know, and I guess once you work with them, I guess you never stop working with them. Sometimes you just change the capacity in which you work with them. Hallelujah.
Right.
And I have some statistics. In 2021, there were 15,900 homes that had mother only in it, mothers raising children, and 3,638 that only had the father in the home. And 2022, it's still 15,782 female parents raising children in the home, and 3,442 that's fathers that's in the home. And I guess I acquaint, whenever I hear something in the news and the children seem to be going haywire, and I, in my mind, I put it with the breakdown of the home and the breakdown of the family. At one time, I know when I was growing up, all of us went to church. The families went to church. It wasn't just your home and your household in the neighborhood. You saw coming home from church at a certain time. Other people went, their parents took them to church, even if it was just the church in the community. They went to church, mom and dad or whoever, went to church. Children had respect for other adults. The other adults in the neighborhood could speak to your child, and your child had to respect that other adult, that other person. And God knows another adult that not come to your mother's house and tell your mother that you did such and such. I remember, and it was the untruth, but I remember getting whacked for something that somebody else said I did. I was one of them goody two-shoes. I was too scared to do anything. But still, my mother listened to that other person.
Yes.
You know, but, you know, a long time ago, the children had the fear of God in them. They were afraid to do anything. They were afraid of a mother and dad in the home, and God knows, y'all, I was 20 years old before I found out that every home didn't have a mother and father in it. I'm serious. Oh, gosh, you know. I'm serious. I thought every household was like mine. I did. I was 20 years old and getting ready to get married. Before I found that out, I thought every household had a mother and father. The only reason dad was nigga, daddy died. Because that's what happened to my household. My father died. So therefore, that was the only reason daddy wasn't there.
Yeah.
But not so. And then,
not so.
But then your parents' word meant something. You paid attention to mother. You paid attention to what mom and dad said. You didn't go against their word. And they spanked you. My mother made us quote the scripture while she was whacking us. I'm serious. She would make us quote that scripture. Spare not. She would make us quote, spare not the rod, spoil the child.
Amen.
And we thought that was a scripture. That's a scripture paraphrase. But I mean, and we weren't allowed to suck our teeth and roll our eyes and all that stuff. You know what? I mean, it was. But my mother was. When my father died when I was 10, my mom had 8 of us. We were all still home, but mom had the respect in the home. And then I had to respect, I was next to the baby, I had to respect my older sisters and my brother as if they were authoritative figures in the home too, because they were older than me. I wasn't supposed to hit them back, they could spank me, they could talk, I mean, and I had to listen. I had to mind. You know, but today it seems like the children, they don't have the fear of God. They don't have the fear of the teacher in the classroom. They don't have the fear of the authority, the police officers out in the street. They don't have the fear of God. Some of them have never seen inside of a church or anything. And so it's just like they think that's how it's supposed to be done. because a lot of times there is no one showing them the proper ways, or and so therefore they make up their own rules, they make up their own laws. When you talk to them, they look at you like you have two heads, this is the way I'm supposed to do it, you know, and then be looking at you, and you know, and then you say something to them, then they go home, tell their parent, Miss Willie said such and such to me. And then the parent is ready to come up to the school, ready to come up to the rec center, jump in your mug, you know, and ready to say, well, my child said, you said something to them. They don't want you to say nothing to the child or anything like that. That's not all of the parents, but that's a lot of the parents.
It's
horrible. And so the question I want to ask you ladies and Pastor Maxine, I want you to go first. I know both of y'all have experience with children. And all. And I know, Kibi, I know you're a retired teacher. I know Pastor Maxine.
Yeah.
I know you, I know when we were coming to your school years ago in Chase Mill, I know you taught children.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, what do you think the behavior of the kids today, their negative behavior, should be should be blamed on? And do you think because the government or the society has told the children or the parents that they cannot correct the children, do you think that has any bearing on how the children act? Because the children feel as if, well, my mother, they can't spank me, or else I can call 911 on her. And so therefore, a lot of the parents are afraid to correct their children, discipline their children, you know. How much do you think that the breakdown in the home or the is blamed, or should we blame what we see in the schools on the home or on the parents? And how can we take it back? How can we reverse this cycle? What's going on? How can we reverse it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Lord, to everybody in the audience.
Yes, amen.
Amen. We just thank and praise God for what God has instructed us to share with you on tonight. Now, the first thing Pastor Willie asked was, how do we feel about the breakdown in the family? Okay, is it because of that? Is it happening in our school? Well, my answer to that would be yes. And the reason why I'm saying yes is in Proverbs, the 29th chapter and the 17th verse, it says, correct thy son. It's no correction in the home today. And it's no correction because one thing is that, first of all, I'm going to say, we blame it all on our government. Because the government says that we're not allowed to correct our children, okay? But what the government said, we're not allowed to abuse our children. And abuse is what causes them to rebel even more or even hurt them even more. The Bible teaches us that correction starts, amen, in the house, in the family. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible teaches us to discipline your children, and they will give you peace.
Yes.
When when we don't give discipline to our children, then they'll respect peace, amen. And they will bring you when you discipline, they will bring you the delights you desire. The delights that we desire, the delights that God has instructed us to impart, the joy, the love, and the happiness, the kindness, the gentleness, the fruits of the Spirit, amen, praise God. And he tells us not to provoke our children. Well, we provoke our children because we don't know how to really do. We do not know how to discipline our children.
Yes.
Amen? Mm. Because the old people back in our day, as I'm saying, the old people back in our day, we were with discipline with the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Some days people discipline their children in anger.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So that anger is not coming from the Lord, it's coming from Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is our children is picking up the anger that they see in their parents. Amen. And they're taking it to the schools, and they're taking it to the workplace, and they're taking it to the playgrounds, and they're taking it everywhere they go because it's uncontrolled anger that is because parents don't know how to discipline. I can never say, as long as I live, that my mother or father pushed at me.
Mm-hmm.
Or said negative words to me, praise
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
If I misbehave, they would tell me, oh, Maxine, you know you're not supposed to do this. And because you did this, you have to either get a spanking or you are punished for that week, for that day, okay?
Yeah.
But nowadays, when children do something, the first thing comes out of the parent mouth is, you stupid so-and-so, and they come.
Mm-hmm.
So when the children go into the schools, they react to the teachers the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They react to their peers the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can bump up to somebody in accident and you can say, excuse me, but
mm-hmm.
because of that anger that they're being trained to do, praise God. They're going to react to you the same way.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So we can't do this. And the thing is that our government has trained our nation to do the same thing.
Yes.
Our government is in the household. And what do we see? We see them and hear them arguing on an everyday basis. Okay. They cannot come to a good decision. And our children see that, and our children hear that. So they're going to react. Your children is going to mimic you. Okay?
That's right.
So what are God's decisions? If you want to do anything for a child, praise God, you have to delight yourself in the Lord.
That's right.
The Bible tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord. And then you'll see the issues of life, okay? Then you'll see the blessings of the Lord, amen. And strange things that Pastor William and Minister Kimmy, I would like to say, the biblical correction of a child, we have to point them to the Lord for Christ.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
We are taking
train up a child
from the house to the school,
right,
to the playground,
mm-hmm.
to the church. We are just taking biblical correction out completely.
Amen.
And you talk about, we just came out celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We know that Jesus was born. We don't know the exact day, but what are you hearing now? You're hearing people saying, well, he wasn't born on that day. So, Lord, you are worshiping an idol because you don't see him. You don't know him, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But you do know him by the laws that God has laid in his word to teach your children and to teach yourself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Point them to the laws of Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Not just your own parental laws. I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to teach my children the way my mother and my father taught me. I'm going to let them do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. that is wrong. Amen. Yes. So wrong, because what happens is children need rules to follow. If they don't have rules to follow, then it's chaos.
Amen.
It's awesome. To their hearts, not just to their behaviors. You have to speak to a child's heart. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us, that it's a lot of things in our heart that's unruly, that's unkind, that is bad. Amen. And what we have to do is we have to teach and train them, praise God, to go to the Word, to cultivate their heart,
that
we have to train our own self.
That's right. That's right.
We have to. It's not just your pastors or the teachers, but you have to train your own heart. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And when God showed them grace, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
That the believers in him should not perish but have everlasting. God showed us grace.
Yes,
no matter what we did wrong, the grace of God was there to love us and to correct us and to show us the right pathway. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
And we need to stop condemning one another. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't condemn us. God built us up.
Right.
It's no condemnation in Christ, but we have taught our children to condemn. We have, it's a lot of teachers I've heard, and Elder Kubik, Pastor, you might have heard this too, but they'll tell the children, I got mine, you got yours.
Amen. Yes. Word. Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That is not God.
No, it's not.
God would say, I'm up in heaven. I'm already there. You got to make it on your own.
Yes, yes.
Well, he didn't look at us like that. He knew we couldn't make it on our own.
Yes, that's right.
He sent his son Jesus to help us.
Amen.
To destroy the world of the enemy. Amen. We should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength, and with all your mind and your neighbors as yourself. And this is one thing that we need to teach our children. A lot of children don't love themselves.
That's right.
And God said that we ought to love ourselves. If we love ourselves, then we're going to love, praise God, our neighbors.
That's right.
And one thing I used to tell children in school, I said, would you like if that person did that to you?
Mm-hmm.
And they would come out of their mouth, no, 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 Sister Lee, no. We wouldn't like that. I said, well, then if you wouldn't like it, how do you feel that they'd like it?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, they don't like it. I said, here, you done hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did you hurt them, but you done hurt the Christ in them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So now Christ is showing you grace and mercy because what could happen to you is their parents could retaliate and tell the teacher to call the police.
Mm-hmm.
And then here you have a mark against you.
That's right.
We have to be careful, praise God, in what. And I also taught a lot of parents to your children the Proverbs. Proverbs will surely train you and teach you in the way to go.
Yes.
This year-old child that had the gun and took it to school and showed the teacher, praise God, 9 out of 10 that he saw on the TV, all this action of shooting and killing.
Mm-hmm.
9 out of 10, when his mother brought the gun, his little mind said, oh, it's okay to go and shoot your teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Because his parent never pushed him the rule of, we grew up with shotguns because they would, father, he used to have pigs and he would kill the pigs with the gun, and some of my uncles and brothers, they would go squirrel hunting,
mm-hmm.
okay? So we grew up with shotguns, but we were taught never to touch them.
Mm-hmm.
This is for hunting,
mm-hmm.
not for you to take this gun and to shoot anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
So this is what was taught in the house. But 9 out of 10, that parent did not teach that to the child.
That's right. That's right.
And so the child took the gun and shot the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Because in his little mind,
okay.
I don't know whether it was a girl or a boy, but in his little mind, Satan was telling him, go and shoot your teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so shot the teacher. And this is what's going on out in the world today. Amen.
Yeah.
And we need to teach God toward us love.
Yeah. That's right.
And we need to say, if we love us, love God first. Love yourself second and love your neighbor.
Yeah.
And if you love like a godly love, you're not going to bring no harm to no one.
Thank you.
And so true.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So true. Amen.
Thank you so
much. This is what I see.
That's
going on in the world.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm finished. Thank you. Elder, I know you have worked with children on a number of years, too. And I know you've seen a lot. And I know with the tender heart that you have, I know that I guess your heart can't help but feel some of the same things that I guess that my heart has been feeling, and seeing the chaos on television and classrooms and stuff like that. But please share, you think it comes from the breakdown in the home? How can you turn this thing around?
Yes. Well, Pastor Maxine hit upon so many rich points that cover so many areas that are affecting our children, our parents, school system, and our world. First of all, the word of God is being revealed. Revelation is right here.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to go back to the hub of the home, which is the parent,
mm-hmm.
the home. There is no love there because they're stressed, they're worrying, they're confused, they're hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Parents need to assess what's going on in the world. Come back and first repent before God. Go back to God and ask him for wisdom for the children that we have today, because the things that they're dealing with, we never had to deal with that.
Amen.
But if we do what the word of God says, which is train up a child the way he should go,
mm-hmm.
let them know, whatever was going on before children, this is a new day. This is what we're going to do because I love you. Jesus loves you. Start with little things.
Yes.
Bring your voice level down when they come home. Do little things to make them feel happy, to celebrate them. Find out what they like. Take the time to do it. I know when they come in from school or doing other things, you're cooking, you're cleaning, you're folding clothes, you're washing. Take 5 or 10 minutes. Give them a hug and say, how was your day today? Look them in your eyes and say, I love you. Do a little something different. Even if you have to get a pot and a wooden spoon and bang on, they go, oh, my goodness, what's wrong with mom? When they come together to see what's going with you, just say, I just wanted to get your attention and tell you, I love you.
Amen.
And also,
set
the atmosphere with music.
Yeah.
Let music be playing all the time. Believe it or not, that is a great help because it sets the atmosphere. Because whatever day the child has had, it will calm it down with your
demeanor of peace and quiet and loving attitude. It will help that whatever was going on that day will diffuse it.
Mm.
You're asking God all the time for wisdom and knowledge how to deal with them. Let them know that they're important. Then you ease it. Those who win souls are coming alive. Lord, how do I let this child know that you are real? By example, how you show them how you live, how you handle them, how you handle their dad if they're in the home, or how they handle every situation, even what children are always watching. They watch how you talk to your girlfriends, if you got a chicken neck, if you're saying this, that, and the other, if you're cussing and acting, if your voice has a lot of anger in it, you want them to hear the love. You want them to hear the understanding. You want them to hear that I care about you. And that some spirit of things that we say, and we do it on purpose in their hearing. And as you begin to win their confidence and knowing, you know, Mama's not mad at me. She loves me. She's going to give me a hug when I come in. She's going to fix me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She's going to do something. And do something different. Choose to do something different. Gather them together. Read. Say, all right, tonight we're going to read the Word of God. Do something different. Get a spot, a very colorful spot. Make a hand puppet out of it. Sing through that puppet. Tell them a story through that puppet. Do something funny. Put on some music and say, oh, come on, we're going to march around the house like an elephant. We're going to march around the house. Something very silly, but they will remember that. You are to the tune of, I love you. I'm taking time with you. They say, okay, then, Mom's got to go back and finish cooking. But they will remember that because you shared that time, that love. And as you go, you shed the Word of God. Even if you take the Word of God and make a song out of it. Children remember things by singing. When I was teaching, I taught phonics through singing. There'll be pattern songs and things like that. A tune will stay in them. You can sing this Low Light of Mine. March around the house and sing that. Say, come on, we're going to beat on the table together. They go, Mama's beating on the table? Mama's making noise? Yes, break that facade of being the adult and come down on their level. Like I was a child once before too. It opens up the avenue that you can talk and say, guess what I used to do? Guess what I did when my mother wasn't looking? But you know, now we're not going to do that because blank, blank, blank. It gives you opportunity to teach, to testify, to listen to them, and their little eyes will just open up and go, what? Mom did that? But the point is they will feel and see and hear the love of not just you, but of Jesus Christ, because you're going to put the Word in them in many variety of ways. And it doesn't start out easy, but turn it around and say, you know what? Things used to be one way, but I love you so much. I'm going to change. We're going to do something different. And sometimes you just have to make things sound exciting, like I did in the classroom. If it was raining, I knew my lesson plan. I better put it to the side and do something different. But I got them excited about learning, excited about doing that and the other. We have to make Jesus Christ exciting to our children. We have a lot of competition out here with all those gadgets that they have, electronics. But nothing can compete with a voice of love. Nothing can compete with you taking time and giving them a hug. And letting them know that Jesus Christ covers us. And tell them, I used to tell mine, you know what, if I don't spank you or don't chastise you, God is going to beat my butt. They go, what? I say, yes, I have to answer to God. And you have to answer to me. So therefore, this is what we're going to do. And you set the atmosphere. And once you chastise them, then you come back and you give them the love. You give them, you know, like when they have a fall down, you put a Band-Aid on, you give them a little kiss. And you chastise them with your words, a little bit harsh. But the Bible says, speak the truth in love. But you have to do it creatively. You know, each one of your children, discernment of spirit, you know what will go for one child will not go for the other. And you have to ask God for wisdom. Today is a day we have never seen before. But God doesn't change. He does not change. But he will say, you have not because you ask not. So you ask God for the wisdom to break the word of God down to them as much as they can understand. Then live the life in front of them. And when you make a mistake or do something, say, you know what, I'm so sorry. Mommy's had a bad day today. Would you come and pray for me? Those children will quickly come to you, lay their hands on you, and say their little prayers or whatever, which will be so sweet and from their hearts. You're doing a lot of things at once. You're showing them respect. You let them know that I need you. You need me. And in this family, we are a team. We work together. This is what they have to see. This is what they have to feel. They have to understand they are part of this. The hand needs the eye. The eye needs to put. We are together, and Jesus Christ is the core. He covers it all.
There is hope. There is hope for our children.
Oh, yes.
And we have to, no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what we hear in the news, no matter what stories the children come home with or come up with, even what new weapon they come out with or whatever, we have to, we just have to hold on to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, and we have to give our children the word no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what, we are mandated by God. Because we know his word never changes. His word never changes. And no matter what else the children may be thinking, this is what we down with now, Ma, and all. But you know what? When you don't change and you continue to give them the word of God, they're going to end up coming right back to you and say, you know what? You were right. You were right, Ma.
I just want to say one more thing. They need to see that we are taking time to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because all day long, no one is listening to them. And as you hear them and hear their hearts, the Lord will show you how to handle them, how to pray, and usher in his word into their little hearts.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that's going on and within the children is that it's been so much going on when the pandemic came out in school, that the virtual learning came in. And a lot of the parents didn't know that they could do what, actually teach their children.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, of course, there's some that, they didn't want to do it. Okay, that doesn't desire to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was some that did want to do it, and they found out, hey, I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can teach my child.
Mm-hmm.
And also open up the door for more Christian learning to come into play. Which start once more Christian learning, in the households and, in the hearts of the children and all. And we have officials that scratching their heads and wondering why this is happening and that is happening. It's because they have opened the door for the enemy to step in.
Exactly.
When you leave the precepts, or when you walk away, put it that way, from the precepts of God's word,
mm-hmm.
and open the door for the enemy to come in.
Exactly.
And like I try to tell people, I say, the enemy's job is to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Amen. Amen.
And the first thing he wants to do is to destroy the family.
Exactly.
Because, that's the first thing that God had created.
Yes.
What did he tell Adam and Eve? He told them to go and keep the garden, then he told them, he said, I want you to replenish the earth.
And multiply.
He didn't want them to replenish the earth.
That's right.
He wanted them to replenish the earth with good.
Amen.
But what did they do? They set them on the word of God.
Yes, the word's necessary.
Okay. And when they walked away from the word of God, it gave the enemy, Satan, an opportunity to step in.
Exactly.
And that is what's going on in a lot of not only just the worldly homes, but in the Christian homes too.
Exactly.
And then as we have opened the door for the enemy to step in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard pastors where they said, okay, I'm going to put my Holy Ghost up on the shelf or in the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And the child has been right there because they wanted to tell so-and-so or brother so-and-so how God felt about the situation. Okay, so what have they taught? They just taught their child And this is true. Their child taught their child how to say, okay, you know, I'm not going to use the word of God, but I'm going to tell them how I feel.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I'm guilty of that, too.
Hallelujah. We thank God for Jesus. We thank God for forgiving us, and we thank God for being examples for our examples of God, godly examples for our children and for the world and for the children that we don't even notice even looking at us. Hallelujah. And no matter what, y'all, continue to lift up the blessing banner for the Lord. Continue to teach your grandchildren, your children, whatever children God brings across your path, the word of God, and even ask God how to minister to the ones that you come across. Put how to deposit in their heart the word that's on their level and the word that's going to stick with them. So one day when they, whatever spot they get into, they know, oh, I can go back to this sister. I can go back to that. I can go back to grandma because she told me such and such and such. Thank you so much, Pastor Maxine. Thank you so much, Elder QB Stevenson, for blessing the air tonight. Yes, continue to keep the young people of Baltimore City in your prayers. Hallelujah, because
always,
they need
always.
It.
Comfort.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Hallelujah. And we'll see y'all next month, the second Friday of next month. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Yes.
We have to. Yes.
You're
welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Here's woman for all the world to see. Him living inside of me, joyfully. But I know that wherever he lives, the place where he really needs me. And when it's dead, if he cares more, I've got to go to him. My sadness and my own loss, I'll be humble at me. And his love empowers me.
Hallelujah. Thanks, y'all. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus.